people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, it's Shift and Steer, and this is the first show back in the studio since SEMA, because we've been all over the place. We've been running around doing some stuff. I know we had banked a bunch of shows at SEMA, and those were some good shows, but I'm Brad Fanshawe. This is Shift and Steer, and in the studio with me is Motorator.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm checking my Instagram.
I know you are. And on the other end of the line, finally, because we had to have, you know, the guys from engineering department, sound engineer come in, do all the technical stuff, get our board back. But he's there. We can hear him now. It's Aaron Hagar. How you doing,
hey,
man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing
not too bad.
Now, we just got done with all of our SEMA shows, which were just killer, man. We did a great job out there. You guys kicked ass. We did some fun shows with fun people at the Magnaflow booth there on the SEMA show floor. And then we came back, and Matt, you and I, we met up at with the guys from Man Seeks Adventure, my cohorts there.
Oh, yeah.
And we did Radwood. That
yes,
was fun, man.
I guess it's only the second time they've done the event, and I never even heard of it, and it's sort of a last minute thing. You're like, let's go to Radwood. I was like, I don't know what that is, but I'm in.
And I told you they served beer at the show, and you
yeah.
were like, I'm there.
Yep.
And Aaron, this was pretty cool. It was I know that you probably saw some of the posts and heard the show, but it was all 80s and 90s cars, and it's kind of tongue in cheek. There's some guys there that are serious, but guys dress up, and I dug through some drawers and found an old Porsche design sunglass shirt that I had, and I wore my gold President Rolex, you know, I had my Vision Streetwear shoes on.
Yeah.
And Dave wore an old concert t-shirt. Heather Storm, who was with us, she dressed all 90s, and Matt didn't, you know, he didn't participate. He, you know.
I had my striped shirt and my blue shoes, which I wear anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's because Matt's timeless.
Yes. But no, it was fun. And then the show that's airing last week is all about the Moon Eyes Xmas party, which is always a cool show. It's fun. But the problem is that it's the last one ever that we went to, Matt.
Yeah, and it took a while to get in.
Everybody decided to go to the last Moon Eyes show.
They sort of underestimated the
traffic jam,
the traffic and stuff of getting in there. And what happened was there was just a mile, maybe 2 miles of just cars lined up to get into the event. And
wow,
I was in another lane, so I kind of was driving past the event just to kind of see what the deal was at the front, and the gate was closed. They're like, we're full, like lots full, we're done. But nobody knew that a mile
right.
away. So everybody's just sitting and honking and
thinking they're in line
yeah,
to get in
to
when
get
they're
in
line to get
yeah,
sit
to,
there.
To nothing. And anyway, we figured it out. We parked about a mile and a half away and just walked up, which is which was fine. And it was a crazy show. It was a lot of low riders.
There was a lot of low riders there, and a lot more than normal, but a lot of low riders, a lot of sleds, a lot of rat rods, and then all the vintage drag cars.
What's the difference between a rat rod and it's just not done yet?
Well, a rat rod is one that it was planned to look that way. The other one, the guy just hasn't finished it.
Because there are some cars there where you're like, this guy's got $40,000 of stuff underneath the car, hydraulics and, you know, making it bounce in his really polished up Daytons, you know, his wire wheel Daytons.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the car has no money spent on it.
Because he spent all the money on the Daytons and the hydraulics.
And the hydraulics.
But,
okay.
You know, there is a trend that I'm seeing and that I saw out there and I've been seeing more and more is guys just finding whatever old car they can. And I mean, it's not even like a popular car. Like, some of them are four doors and stuff, and they're all sun faded. They're just yanking them out of yards, out of deserts.
I know. We saw a lot of unpopular cars.
Yes, and they're putting a nice motor in it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not even putting a nice motor in it; just a running motor. Nice wheels and tires, lowering them and driving them. You know, sloppy blankets over the seats and stuff like that. And they look like, I mean, honestly, they look like you'd have a lot of fun with them because you don't have to worry about them getting scratched. You can lean against them. You can set your beer on them. You can do whatever you want. And
you know when you would, like, you watch cartoons and there's like the trap that's always set and it's like a box and the box is leaned up and there's like a stick in it and there's a rope around the stick and there's like a piece of cheese or an M&M or something in there and you
got
to
go. Yeah, we've got the picture.
Yeah, right. You got it, right? I feel like that's what was going on with the way some of the guys parked these cars with the hydraulics. There was like, because the front end was like up really high and there was like a wheel up in the air and you kind of want to like go underneath the front of the car to grab something and I think you just slams it down and catches people.
You know what?
Mostly children.
After we saw that, we saw that Impala, and he had it parked like Matt's describing with one wheel up in the air, enough that a little kid literally could just walk under it.
3.5 feet in the air.
And that's how he left it. He just, you know, parked it like that. And I was thinking, have you ever seen those really stupid little dolls that people put at these hot rod shows? I don't even know how they ever got popular.
Oh.
The kid who looks like he's crying up against the fender.
Yeah, or the kid who's like smashed into the trunk or the hood.
But they have the full size ones. And he looks like he's leaning up against, like he's got his heads up, like he's crying or something. Which I don't even know why people do that, but. That would have been like the perfect thing to put underneath that hydraulic. Like people would come walking up, they'd be like, "Oh my God, there's a kid under
there! Get the kid!" And by the way, that thing was unstable.
We could have pushed on the front bumper, and lifted the rear
wheel. It was kind of a teeter-totter thing.
I tried to get Matt to jump on one fender. I jump on the other. We use it like a teeter-totter, and he says, "No, I think we'll get knifed and killed." And
that guy gave us a dirty look just by thinking it.
He gave us a dirty look just for taking a picture of him putting it up. Like, you know, hey, man.
Yeah.
It's
not really my thing, but I get what's going on over there. There's a lot of time and energy put into those cars, and that part of the hobby I appreciate. And who doesn't love a 14-inch rim?
I told you, dude, there was a time in my life that I wanted a lowrider bad.
Yeah.
Because they do just look like, yeah, man, you know, you're cool just driving them low and slow.
How many lowriders have you had, Aaron?
Is my Mini Cooper considered a lowrider? It's not
10
and it's only about 3 inches off the ground at best. But, Brad, I think, if I remember right, you were into the lowrider mini trucks.
No, I was never into the mini truck thing. That wasn't me.
A bicycle? Come on, that was a BMX thing. All the BMXers in California.
There were, but I wasn't a rich kid because what I always wanted was the raised up 33-inch tire Toyota all my BMX bikes around. But I didn't have it. I had an El Camino.
Oh. So you wanted the Back to the Future kid truck, right? The black.
It was just the cool thing. But the Moon Eye Show, to wrap it up on that, it was a great show. Unfortunately, Irwindale is finally closing down, and so it is no more.
They've been saying that for years.
I know, but it's for real this time because they got their housing approved.
So who's your boy over at Moon Eyes? Who's your guy?
Well, I know Chico, who runs the U.S. division, and Shige, who I introduced you to, who owns the whole entire thing. And he's really an interesting dude because a lot of people know Chico because here in the United States. But Shige owns the worldwide Moon Eyes, and you know they're in Bangkok, they're everywhere now, and it's a cultural phenomenon. But what a lot of people don't realize is that Shige actually worked at Moon Eyes back in the 60s, the late 60s, when Dean Moon still owned it, and Ed Roth worked there, and I mean, all the world famous pinstripers, they all worked there, and it was like this really eclectic group, and he was going to UCLA studying business, and he worked there because he was into cars.
Yeah.
So years later, he moved back to Tokyo, and he was the CFO of Disneyland Tokyo, and when Dean Moon died, the family was just going to sell the property and throw all the stuff away because it literally had not been a going operation for quite a few years. Just kind of, Dean went and hung out. And And so Shiggy caught wind of it, came back over, and he said, I want to buy the property, but I want to buy everything. So literally, the day Dean died and walked out, everything that was there, Shiggy just took it. The cars, the photo files, everything. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a Moon Eyes today. It would just be one of those companies that was lost to history, and he's grown it. And
when was that? What year do you think he took it over?
That would have been like probably about, gosh, I'm going to say it was either the like 89 or 90, mm-hmm. right around in that area. And yeah, because for years they bought tons of wheels from us at Boyd's, and back when billet wheels were really huge in Japan, and people could still afford them and stuff. And but I mean, when you go over there, I've gone over there for his Yokohama show. He's had me come over, and we took Shizume over one year, drove Shizume through Tokyo. But he's got a 50s diner that is so cool. I mean, you go
in Tokyo.
It's in Yokohama City.
Okay,
and it's a Moon Eyes 50s diner, and then he has speed shops. And then he's got, and it's just, it's crazy. I mean, the guys are so enthusiastic over there. And that's a lot of fun.
Well, hopefully they continue to do the Moon Eyes show event out here. They were a little unsure where they were going to do it, but it sounded like their intention was to try to do it, but we'll see.
I think they're moving it to the parking lot at Corolla Studios.
Oh, well, that'll be okay.
You thought the parking was bad last year?
Yeah. I mean, we've got some stuff, some trucks and some stuff in the way. We might have to move maybe a shed, some of my parts, a trailer.
Yeah. You know, other than the drag racing, they can do that a lot of places. So I'm sure they'll find something. Let's talk about Amsoil. You know why I like Amsoil? Because they're a bunch of car people. They're gearheads. They're into all kinds of power sports. And basically, they get it. Recently, Amsoil created a guide to increasing horsepower in your vehicle. It has insider tips from some of the best in the business on coaxing more power out of your engine. You can get a copy free at amsoil.com/shift. While there, find out more about Amsoil synthetic motor oil too. Like how Amsoil Signature Series synthetic motor oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by leading industry standard. Go to amsoil.com/shift and get your free insider's guide to increasing horsepower.
You have a Moon Eyes relic, don't you?
I do. I've got a bunch of their stickers, and I've got a bunch of their old catalogs and stuff.
Do you
have the original Moon Eyes dragster too.
So when the trash guy comes to your house,
are we not discussing that?
I'm just pulling your leg. No, I do. I have the original Moon Eyes dragster, which I bought from Shige. Years and years ago. Yeah, it was, I think, 95.
That thing is so cool. So cool. And it's got a front, it's got a low a supercharger on it.
Yeah, it's got a 392 Hemi with a potive crank-driven blower. Yeah, it's an awesome little car.
Is that the dragster that's out back?
So cool.
That's the one in my warehouse, yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
When the trash guy comes to your house, you just
so cool looking.
You just put out the trash like once a year, right? Because you don't throw away anything ever.
No, I throw away trash. I throw away trash.
Do you really?
But hey, I'll tell you guys this. You know what? You know how I'm paying for Christmas this year, buying all my Christmas presents and stuff?
Yeah, not from ads on this
20 years, that's true. 20 years ago, there was a printer here in Orange County going out of business.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember how I felt, ran across this. I saw it somewhere. Printer going out of business, selling everything. And it said, plus old inventory of posters. Well, I wasn't interested in the printer. I wasn't interested in it. But I thought, old inventory of posters, Southern California. Went over there. It was the guy who printed all of the drag strip posters. And he had all these posters. Now, I wish I would have bought everything he had. But you can pay so much, you know. And I bought stacks of, like, Orange County Raceway, Lions Drag Strip, all this stuff. And I had them in the back in my warehouse, and I forgot that I had them. and he had all kinds of other stuff, Hydra Boat Racing, all kinds of stuff. So I bought all of these original posters that he had. And I had them in the back, and I got them out, and I went, oh, wait a minute, I bet people would like these. So I put them up on eBay, and, you know, guys have been gobbling them up, you know. And guys are like, are these reprints? I go, dude, I bought the printer out. All of his, because he just had, you know, like, you know, printers will keep like 20 or 25 of everything just so they have, like, if they come back to do more, they've got a printer sample, you know, or he gives them to other people to go, here's an example of our work. Yeah. And it was that kind of stuff. And they were mint. The guy kept them like flat. They kept them, you know, very few of them had tatters on them or anything. And I bought them with intentions of selling them and just put them in the warehouse.
But, yeah. Well, here you are 20 years later.
I know. I'm selling them now.
Selling them now.
But not all of them, Matt. I'm keeping some of them for myself.
Well, because in 20 years from now, what are you going to
do? Really cheap. He's going to sell them all really cheap, and then 5 years from now, he's going to go, man, I still wish I had them.
Right?
Well, I keep one of each one because someday I'm going to have this huge building, and I'm going to have all that stuff on the walls.
Okay.
Yeah.
When's that going to happen?
Actually, I think what's really going to happen is I'm going to croak sometime, and somebody's going to come in and go, Charlotte's going to go, yeah, just throw all that stuff
just
in the dumpster.
Everything.
Just throw it in the dumpster, and some guy's going to go, some other pack rat's going to go, look at all this stuff.
Look at all this stuff. He's going to be doing a podcast going, that Fanshawe guy passed away and I got all his shit. He had all this old stuff that I never did. He never threw anything away.
You know what, though? I mean, very seriously, it kind of stresses me out because I think if I died tomorrow, Charlotte doesn't know what the stuff's worth and she's not going to take the time to, you know, like put it on eBay or something. And some guy's going to come along because you see it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, in Indiana, there's an auction of, you know, the Bob Williams sale or whatever. And there was a guy that had 43 semi-truckload trailers on a piece of land in Indiana or something, wherever it was. And the guy was a Chevelle collector. Some of the things had cars in them, but most of them had parts. One of them had literature. And, you know, I mean, that guy probably thought, I'm rich because you know what all that stuff's worth?
Yeah.
Well, it's only worth if you sell it before you die.
Yeah,
you know?
Right?
So,
I die poor.
Which brings me back to that website I keep threatening to start, Buy Brad Stuff, and
buy Brad
sell
stuff.
Everything.
That's it.
So, every day, put a new item up, you know?
The inventory and the photos alone would just take you forever.
Just, like, one time I was into collecting key rings, and
who does that?
Because there's a bunch of cool key rings, man. You know, everything from Rat Fink ones to
like key fobs.
Yeah, like car. Yeah. Like you go to SEMA.
Like a key chain, yeah.
Like you go to SEMA and everybody's got these, you know, Gunk or, you know, Prestone or whatever. And I mean, I started collecting those back in the 80s. And so I got boxes of them. I mean, Matt, you should get into that. I will sell you my collection. So, and you can start collecting.
That's like your version of coin collecting.
Low barrier to entry, okay?
Yeah.
And
there's a good way to kickstart it. Is I could buy the Fanshawe collection of keychains.
I started a matchbook collection, and the way I started that was I had some rental property, and a guy moved out, and he had left his behind, and it was this enormous glass bottle, probably 3 foot tall. And it was full of matchbooks. And I started looking through them. And they went clear back to the 40s and 50s. And it was all these cool, like, Vegas joints and places up in L.A. and stuff. And I thought, this is so cool. So then everywhere I went for, like, the next 3 years, I would grab matchbooks and add them to the collection. Now they're probably just a fire hazard.
They've always been a fire hazard.
Yeah.
Because the bottle got broken. Now they're in blue bins.
Oh, really? I was hoping, like, the bottle was there and right next to it was a fire extinguisher.
It's like it's a sad sickness, but it's so cool when people's faces light up and they go, oh, look at that. That is so cool. You know, but.
Yeah. And you're like, really? You want it? No, I don't.
No, there's a lot of matchbook collectors.
Really?
Yeah. They're all like 92 years old.
Yeah.
So
they have coins. Yeah. They have matchbooks.
Someday there's going to be an iPhone collector because of all the photos that are stored on them. Just think of that.
Yeah. Actually, true story is not iPhones, but Tim Allen collects cell phones.
Old Macintosh.
Well, there you go.
He's a cell phone geek, and he gets, like, the latest, like, Blackberries and whatever, if they still make that, and he he tests them like we drive press cars.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at his shop a few years ago, he had his car collection, and then he had a wall with like a trophy case in a wall, and like the bottom shelf that was probably 40 feet long on display were just cell phones. They were just wow. Bunch of cell phones that he had.
What do you do with your old cell phones?
I mail them back and get the refund, which is weird that you said that because I bought an iPhone X and I mailed my other phone back like a month ago.
And you never got the refund.
And I got an email today going, we just charged you $343 because you never mailed your phone back. I was like, I did. And now I don't have the receipt or the tracking number because it was months ago. And now I
got
to figure out.
They got you. They're making their money twice on you. No, I mean, I keep all my old cell phones. I've got my old flip phones. I got my carry-along one that I had in the
80s. Of course you do.
And I thought everybody did. I mean, why would you get rid of them? They're like history, man. Like, don't you keep all your old computers?
All right, I do have three or four computers.
Yeah, see?
I've got like three.
Just
got to
find that sweet spot. I mean, Aaron probably collects like paintbrushes.
Hmm.
Well, yeah.
And old cars.
Paintbrushes. No, I've actually gotten rid of a lot of stuff. I've been cleaning stuff out. After I moved my studio and my bedroom back and switched them, I got rid of tons of stuff. I had boxes of like swag from Corona and Fat Tire and from all the stuff when I ran the restaurant, and I got rid of all that stuff. Most of it I threw away.
What's the one eclectic thing that people might go, really, that you collect, Aaron? Other than that really weird
Odyssey.
Thing where you have locks of people's hair.
I was going to say, nothing gross like back hair.
Yeah. I've got teeth. I've got hair. I've got things in jars. I've got some bones. I've got a zoology. My studio is all zoology themed. So I've got old medical books, oddity books. I've got a couple gaffes, but mostly what I have is real. And, I would say,
When Aaron told me he collected old cadavers that the university was throwing out, I was like, oh, dude, that's just weird.
The place must smell bad.
He goes, I put them in the cars in the shop, and it looks like people are driving them. I put makeup on them and hats and vintage clothes. I'm like, okay. And I thought his weird thing about going backstage and getting hair out of everybody's hairbrush was weird, okay? But,
Hey, carpooling.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow, that looks so lifelike.
All you need is a head on a stick. That's all you need.
How about you, Matt? What do you collect? I mean, you're pretty low budget type of guy. I mean, you know, pretty
I don't
not a lot of accessories.
No. I mean, I don't think I have much of anything. Like there's the one thing we
other than Fox bodies, what do you collect?
There's one thing that we all collect and we don't mean to, and that's lanyards.
Yes, yeah, lanyards.
Right. Oh, I don't know why we can't throw them away.
I get rid of all those. I don't keep them.
But I've got like in a closet. They're all hanging on one thing, and there's got to be, I don't know, 200 of them there or something like that. And I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to throw them all away.
It's one of those things. I literally had them on a hook in a guest closet at my house, and it got out of control. I said, okay, I got to do something with these. So one day I took a broomstick and I started sliding them on. Cause if you just start, you know, they become a big knot, right?
Yeah.
So I started sliding them on this broomstick and all of a sudden this broomstick's full and I was going to take it out to my garage. And I'm going, this thing's heavy, man. All those plastic lanyards. And, and I was like going, this is crazy. But I got it out there and I think I got 5 broomsticks full of them now. So
you didn't throw them away?
Heck no.
You just put the broomsticks?
I'm gonna build light fixtures out of them.
That's not fire resistant.
Some kind of art project.
Yeah.
You know, when I retire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever, Aaron, do you ever take something and you go, you know what? I'm going to do this with it. And then like 5 years later, you look at it and go, I should get rid of that. No, I'm still going to do that someday. Do you ever do that?
Oh yeah.
Exactly. It's a sickness.
It just gets dangerous when you do that with like commercial vehicles. You know, you've got like a 6-wheel truck and you're like, yeah, but I'm going to cut that down and section it and make it to a 2-wheel.
I was looking at an investment of mine back in, I think it was 1996, the guy who started Mongoose BMX Bicycles, Skip Hess, who was also a drag racer, he had taken over Schwinn, and because remember Schwinn was almost dead at one point, and he brought back the Black Shadow. He was going to do a limited edition of the Black Shadow bike that was, that really classic bike, and so he was doing these, and I was talking to him one day. And I said, man, those are really cool. He goes, yeah, we're only doing X amount of them or whatever. And he goes, you know, he goes, if you want one, he goes, I'll give you a really good deal and, sell you one that's not, and then you can make it your own. And I was going to make a trick one, I was going to take it, paint it really cool and everything. So I think I paid $1,200 for that Black Shadow. It's everything just in pieces. Uh-huh. It's not powder coated. It's not, I've got that in my garage. One of these days I'm going to do that.
Or you could just put it on eBay. at buybradshit.com
or
whatever.
If anybody out there wants a authentic Schwinn Black Shadow, one of the recreations, but in kit form.
In like raw metal in kit form.
Exactly. Everything's there. Just give me a call. Yeah. And, just remember, I paid $1,200 for it, so I got to make a little bit of money on it. You know, it's like fine wine. It gets better with age.
Although a piece like that would be cool to make a display or like whatever, like the shadow box kind of thing you hang on the wall of the bike. But all the pieces kind of separated. Yeah, all the pieces separated.
Like a blown apart motor?
Yeah, like a blown apart motor kind of thing
cool.
of the bike.
And you should, all in, dude, and, that's a great project for you. You said you don't have many things. I think we could work some kind of deal here.
I'm almost tempted.
Yeah, it'd be neat.
I'm not going to do it.
you do know that the Black Shadow Schwinn was the official bike of the designer of the Fox Body Mustang.
That's not a true story.
Oh, it is. It is.
Do you have original Oakley grips to go with it?
It never came with Oakley grips. And I could never afford Oakley grips.
Brad's got the original. Brad's got the Oakley glasses and a mullet to go with it.
I do have the original Oakley glasses.
Do you still have your short shorts?
Yeah, I do. My OPs?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah, dude.
Some short shorts, buddy. I don't know if you just got the wrong size or if that was the style back then.
Just watch Magnum P.I.
That's right. You had some Magnum P.I.s. Yes, you did. You had those short shorts.
I remember going to Hawaii and looking back on those photos and going, whoa, that was the full-on Magnum P.I. look going on.
I don't know what it is. Maybe you have a few cocktails, but every once in a while you post an old photo. I'm like, there's on your social media, I was like, there's some short shorts, buddy.
Oh, man.
If there's a dude version of Daisy Dukes, Brad had them.
There is a methodology to that because if you're looking at the shorts, you're not noticing the mullet.
So. Oh, no, I noticed the mullet, too. That's the beauty of social media. You can blow that photo up and really kind of analyze it for like 20 minutes and then point out all the wonderful features of Brad's fashion sense back in the day.
I think
those were pre-manscaping, too.
You know what I think should happen here, guys, is in light of this discussion, is each of us should pull an old Christmas photo from way back and posted on Shift and Steer's website for our fans.
I'll do that. I just got to figure out has photos.
I don't think I have any.
Oh, you're right. Like, you don't have an old holiday photo somewhere. Yeah,
you must.
I run across any.
Did you never celebrate the holidays or take any photos?
Yeah, but we didn't take a lot of pictures. I don't know what happened.
Oh, were you one of the families that it was like, nobody's, we all just got up. We don't want to take photos. Because that's the funniest thing about Christmas morning photos. Everybody's hair is like sticking up and they're in their PJs.
I don't know about a Christmas photo. I'm trying to think of like the photos that are like hanging on mom's wall and stuff about Christmas photos. I for sure got a baby photo somewhere.
A baby photo. How about your school photos?
And we got, like, it was a couple, high school photos and stuff.
We've all got those.
Yeah.
I think I was wearing velvet.
I got a couple of those. What, my Dr. Spock or whatever the guy was from, it's like a velveteen shirt. They were crushed velour. Velour, yes. That's what they were. They were totally popular for a while.
See, like when I was in high school and stuff, though, I was in like ROTC and all that. So
that'd be a great photo. You and your ROTC.
But I still just had like, you know, just like short hair and, mm-hmm. and you know, I didn't do anything crazy. Although.
Wait, you look the same?
Yeah, kind of the same. Oh, although.
Timeless, right?
When I graduated high school, everybody had their cap and gown, and then, you know, I guess all the smart kids had these weird sashes and ribbons and whatever. I didn't have any of that, but I was lieutenant colonel in the ROTC, and I was lieutenant colonel in the Civil Air Patrol, so I took all the ribbons off my uniform, and I stuck them on the gown, on my cap and gown, and I wore that at graduation. Like, I wore that at graduation. Like, I'm sure it's total like blasphemy for the uniform, but it was funny and it was a joke. And but because I wore it,
and that's why you were kicked out.
No,
right?
but I wore it on the stage, and so my mom just got like graduation photos of like both my brothers and then mine, and I got these ribbons all over up there, which everybody thought it was funny at the time. Now you look at it 20-something years later, and you're like, what are you wearing? What is that?
Yeah, what are all those ribbons?
Like, they don't give those away at school. I'm like, that's the joke. Come on. You got to do some sort of thing.
You know what, Aaron? I don't know about you, but that sounds like one of those ROTC jokes, doesn't it?
It is an ROTC joke, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I can't really relate to that.
Although, I had a grandfather that was in World War II, and he was an Air Force guy, and he loved that photo. He loved the high school graduation photo with the ribbons on it, because he loved that I was like flying planes and doing that stuff,
that's cool.
And you know, he was an engineer at Grumman, and he would build planes.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the war, those guys would go fight in the war, and like all their wives would have to go to the factories and like make planes.
Right.
So he did that, and then, you know, all these model planes that you have, like you can get the RC planes, you make them all out of balsa wood, you can buy the kits and all that stuff. Well, there was a magazine back in the day that it was almost like Playboy for RC planes, and there was like...
They were naked balsa wood?
There was a fold-out, like, centerfold of the plans for the plane of that month, and it was just flat 2D centerfold plans. So he would take that... every month, or you know, once he liked a couple times a year, and then he would just go to like a Kinko's or something and kind of blow it up almost to full size, and then instead of buying a kit, he would just buy balsa wood stock, and he would just go in there and cut every piece and sand it.
He would fabricate it.
He would completely fab out planes,
yeah.
And in the basement of his little house on Long Island, like hanging off the ceiling, were all these cool planes, and then. Yeah, and then as he got older, he gave away some to the church, and they hung some up, and they did some giveaways.
Do you have
stuff.
Any of them?
Yes. And like you, Brad, this is the only thing that I have that they were taken apart, like the wings and stuff. They were put in boxes, and they've been sitting in these boxes.
They got to be fragile, too.
They're
right?
fragile, yeah. And I'm sure some of them are damaged. You would have to go back and repair them. But they're in the boxes, still wrapped and sealed, and they've been in my mom's garage for 20 years.
And just
years.
Hoping that there's no termites in there, right?
Cool.
I'm hoping. I mean, they're pretty taped up and stuff. And
Arizona doesn't have a lot of termites either.
So. No, and I don't think they went to Florida ever. I think they went from New York, boxed and taped up, and went right to Arizona. And I'm sure maybe the heat and stuff is damaged. That. Like, there's definitely a restoration process involved, right? But I think they're probably good enough. Unless they're just so dry and frail that they're just powder.
Like paper, yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's cool. I mean, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you know that he hand-built them and he put all his, you know, attention into.
And then, you know, you do that weird, like, heat-shrink plastic to make the skin over the wings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he did one of them that he did, which I absolutely loved. He just called it the skeleton plane. Like the bicycle we were talking about hanging on the wall, he didn't wrap it. So the whole thing was just like
you could see all the structure.
Yeah, you could all the ribs in the wings and all that stuff, and it's great. Now when he was a
he was the Howard Hughes of model planes.
He was the Howard Hughes. So he actually did when he was a kid, he was a young man, he was 19, 20, something like that. They lived in Glen Cove, and he built his only full size airplane, like single wing. I don't think it was biplane, like single wing plane.
A 1-to-1 scale.
And he, yeah, with an engine, and he hand painted Miss Glen Cove on it.
Did he fly
and,
it?
This is how long ago it was in Glen Cove. He drove it down the street, right? We're out of his garage,
and
drove it down
the
street, and got a little airborne on it, and then landed it. And he's like, I'm done. And that was it. He never did it again.
So he was smart because he knew don't take it any higher than a few feet.
That's right. And then he made a model version of it, like a very small, like, you know, like 1 foot by 2 foot kind of model version, a very small one that he made. And he hand painted it and he wrote Miss Glen Cove on it again. And my mom has that in the office.
What happened to the full size?
I don't know what happened to the full size one. I think he had to take it apart.
It's not in a box in your mom's garage.
I mean, that'd be awesome if it was.
Hey, Mom, what's in the attic? Oh, your grandpa's old plane.
He flew that plane. And then some of his model planes he flew. He put the engine in and he flew a few and he had the controllers and stuff for it. And that's when I got super into it, like the remote control planes and the cars and stuff. And I remember being a kid, like he came out to Arizona for like a holiday break, you know, when I was staying out there for like 2 weeks. And so he just went to the store and just bought a model plane kit. We built it together. And we put the engine in it. We didn't fly it, but we built it. And that's hanging in the guest bedroom in my mom's house, the one that we built together.
Cool.
That one's done. It's wrapped in like a yellow and white. And those things I love. And then he flew a few when he was younger and he was building them, but he never got into the flying of them. He just liked to build them.
Did you ever get into the model rockets at all?
Not so much. Like, I did do a few of those, and my little brother, who's kind of nerdy, was, like, into them a little bit more. So,
did you ever do those, Aaron?
I helped him build a few of the rockets.
Yeah, my dad and I did that a lot when I was a kid.
I think they were Cox model rockets, right? COX?
Saturn 7.
Maybe.
Yeah, we built the 7 and the 5, the Saturn series. Yeah, I was into it.
Because you could go to the hobby shop and buy the what we used to buy those rocket engines.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know what they were. They were, you know, but they made those things, I mean, take off. You said you built the multi-stage one, Aaron?
Yeah, we built the 5 and the 7, yeah.
And then it parachutes down after it comes apart?
Yeah, I remember that.
So, what one did you do?
So we were building those, and then so then we're like, oh, we can modify this. This is my brother, my older brother and
That's what we ended up
doing. So we took, instead of the rocket stand that shoots up, we made a giant PVC tube, and then we did it sideways like a bazooka you wear on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And then we made like a blast screen with like a clear plexi window.
So basically what you made is a shoulder rocket.
We made a shoulder rocket, and we were launching these things down
RPG.
The street. Yeah. And then we made a smaller version that shot bottle rockets. And so for like 4th of July in Florida, people would come out in the street and all this stuff. And we made this rocket launcher
version
of it.
Should wait until everybody's in the street and got the big one out.
And then that's when I was like a little worried about my dad, you know, because he was in Vietnam and he came out and he saw our thing. And it's one of those things where you're like, you're going to get in trouble. The old man's going to bust you. And he's like, that's cool. And so he started shooting and I see my dad standing out in the middle of the street in our cul-de-sac yelling fire in the hole and shooting bottle rockets off his shoulder at the house at the end of the street. I'm like, what did we do?
Dad!
Yeah, what did we do?
He's out there with a headband on and he's got like ammunition crisscrossed.
I'm telling you, it was a little, but yeah, like that, but pictured like a short, fat Italian guy.
So Stallone.
Yeah.
Just a version of Stallone, just a little shorter.
Like if Stallone ate meatballs instead of working out, that'd be dead. Yeah, so we had that.
I just had this in my head. I just imagined this guy out there.
The neighbors were a little worried. We were all a little worried.
Yeah. we figured out those rockets, and this older kid in my neighborhood, he had the big rocket setup like you were talking about, Aaron, and the ignition stand to light them. And he figured out that, hey, let's take some of your Tonka trucks, drill a hole in the back, and we took them up to the basketball courts at the school, and we put the rocket motor in the back of the Tonka truck, and I remember a green Jeep. It was a Tonka truck Jeep. And take the igniter. That thing went just, it started off slow. It went whoosh, and then it just went through the end of the basketball courts, kept going across the football field, and finally pegged into the fence at the other end, and it was still going.
Yeah, it's still on fire.
It was so awesome.
And then how long before you're like, I need to build one full size?
Well, yeah.
I need a jet engine car full size.
Oh, we tried everything. He had this idea of taking like the tether string, like on on the old gas-powered cars that you would just take a tether string. And he goes, let's try that with the rocket car. Yeah. And that didn't work because you couldn't keep up with the car. You know?
Could never keep
up. He was out there trying to do it, and all of a sudden it started wrapping around his legs till it got close enough. And then he's like, oh, it's going to burn me, you know. And it was like, it was just awesome.
The RC cars I was super into, and I liked those. Everybody had a Grasshopper, right? Like, that was the first.
I remember those,
That was the best, like, entry-level one. And now I'm, like, some of the shit you're selling on eBay, they're, like, super retro and cool, you know? And, you know who is the biggest RC guy in the world is our friend Richard Waitis at Magnaflow.
Oh, really? He's a big RC guy?
He's a big RC guy. He's got like an entire room and it's just shelves and they're just stacked with every like version of RC car and truck and everything you have to the point where he made Magnaflow exhaust for the gas-powered ones.
Wow.
Because he works at Magnaflow. He's an engineer and stuff. And I think he put some stickers on some, but I think he made a couple like little of those pipes, you know, the little pipes for him and stuff.
Little power pipes for him.
He gets it. Like you ask him, like, what's the best gas engine? And he'll tell you everything about the brushless and the non-brushless engines and the different types of batteries and the controllers to get and blah, blah, blah. Like he's got a lot of money invested in that.
See? He's collecting, Matt. You don't have a collection yet.
Yeah.
You need a real collection.
It's funny because as kids, there were some things you can do, the oil-filled shocks and the ball bearings and stuff. Now you pick up one of those like RC modeler car action magazines or whatever, and it's like picking up an aftermarket catalog.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like everything you could get on a real car, you can get for these things. There's suspension kits, and now they're like, this is solid motor mounts. We have aluminum motor mounts and brushless this and bearings that. And I was like, it's cool. It's a pricey hobby, but it's a pretty cool
Did either of you guys ever have like a gas-powered airplane?
I built the airplanes, but we didn't fly it with the gas.
I had one, and I remember I thought they were so cool. But when you think back of, you know, remember the guy up at the school going, brap, brap, and then all of a sudden they go, and they'd run over and they'd, you know, because it was on a tether string. It wasn't remote controlled or anything. But I think back.
You're going way back.
Oh, yeah, because I bought one when I was a kid. I think I traded it for a skateboard or something because my parents wouldn't buy me one. And when I think back on it, you're sitting there with that propeller. You had the glow plug. You had to you had to put the battery on it, and then you had to prime it with some fuel, and then you had to start it. You had to wind that propeller and then let it go and get your fingers out of the way
because
that propeller would chop your finger off.
Yeah.
And you think, kids. That's for kids, man. And I remember getting my finger caught in it a couple times. I had a big slice coming home, and my mom going, I told you, see, those aren't safe. And I'm like, they sell them at the store. They got to be safe.
I have 9 fingertips left.
Exactly.
What are you saying?
Jimmy down the street has one.
Yeah, he's got 8 fingertips.
Exactly. Yeah. But they were so cool. But they never worked. I mean, you would sit there, you'd prime it, and it'd start. I don't think I ever flew that plane because it would go.
I never flew one, and even my gas powered cars back in the day. It's like I can never get the goddamn thing started.
Well, if you run back to the tether, and then they go, bah, 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 and you go, damn it, you know. And
I don't know about this tether thing you keep talking about. I don't know what generation of RC you were in, but
they weren't RC. This is pre RC. They weren't remote controlled. You had two basic like fishing lines that went to it and a plastic handle, and you just went in a circle, and that was the boring thing about it.
What'd you say, Aaron?
No, I was just describing it too. Yeah, you just went around a circle. Now that wouldn't work these days because everybody's on their cell phone looking down, and you're sitting there dizzy from going in a circle. You sent an airplane right to someone's face.
It's funny because you mentioned
up here in Tahoe. Oh, no, go
up here in Tahoe.
Here
what?
In Tahoe, there's a big there's a big off-road RC scene. So they've got crawlers. And they're geared low, they're slow, you know. And some of these crawlers, you guys, are amazing. They've got fully functional worn winches on them, you know. They've got like detachable lockers on them,
yeah.
and sway bar lockers. And I mean, they've got all kinds of amazing stuff that's all on remote. So they can detach their sway bars and do all kinds of crazy stuff. They even got like the little trash bags on the back tire, you know, like
yeah.
off the back gate, you know, with like the net with stuff in it. I mean, some of these things, if you take the photo in the right perspective, you almost can't tell. I mean, they're absolutely brilliant.
It makes me think of that.
It's a huge culture.
It makes me think of that film that they're advertising right now with Mark Wahlberg. Have you seen that? It took me a couple times before I realized what it was, and it's called Shrink My Life or something like that. And
that's Matt Damon.
Is that Matt Damon? They're not the same guy?
No.
Yeah, it's Matt Damon.
One works out, the other one not so much.
Idea.
Sorry, but it's like...
Your $100,000 is $10 million in our world.
Exactly. It's like, if you shrink everything down, everything's so much smaller. So, like, see, these people would have all these trick off-road rock crawlers and off-road cars and stuff like that because they could afford them in that world.
Maybe. Somebody, I'd be interested in building another RC car, but somebody needs to find me... Yeah. A Fox Body Mustang Lexan body.
Tell me there isn't one already built. There's got to be a Fox Body Mustang.
Sure, but I want the body so I can put it on like a cool car, like a legit RC though, like
with twin turbos sticking out of the hood or not, up in front.
Not like a Radio Shack RC. I want like a good RC.
You want a real one.
I want a real one. Like, you know, like a Traxxas or something or whatever, whoever's making them these days. I'd love to find the 93 Cobra body for it. And I'm sure there's like some sort of like Ken Block Mustang version.
Why don't you just have one made and printed? Just have some guys 3D print one,
3D
dude.
Print it.
It could be red just like yours with gold Bond Speed wheels. I mean, everything, man. It'd be pitching.
I need to make one of those. The car I can find, right? I call up Richard Waitis. I'm like, I have a car. Or I can find the body. I'm like, I need a car that this fits. And I'm sure you can find me a car.
I think you should just have one printed.
I need a Fox Body Mustang. I mean, you're never going to find a Fox Body Cobra, 93 Cobra, Lexan body, clear, you know, that you got to paint from the inside. You know, but that'd be rad to have. And I'll build an
RC could start
car.
Building it right now. You could show it to all your friends at SEMA and then in the next year, get it running.
Somebody must make those bodies, though, right?
It's a popular enough car. Somebody's got to make one.
Oh no, it's a SEMA build. I probably still can't afford it, but I'm gonna do it for SEMA.
Calling people up, going, "Hey, I'm doing this Fox Body Mustang. Can I get some shocks and stuff?"
Yeah.
And
do you make them no taller than an inch and a half?
Pinky shocks. Yeah, it's the pinky shocks.
Hey, John Hotchkiss. Hey, I need some sway bars. And he goes, "Oh, really? What do you need? Like 2 inch, inch and a half?" Go. Nah, I'm thinking like eighth inch.
Eighth inch.
You know, round? Could you do that?
Yeah. Also, about an inch and a half wide. You know, basically like a toothpick is what I need, but I need it in metal.
I need a fuel cell. Yeah. What do you need?
He's 6 ounce. He's gonna like bend up a paper clip and powder coat it.
Exactly.
Here you go. I say that now, but there's probably like a $1,200 sway bar kit for
an RC
car.
Yeah, it's like all CAD engineered.
It's like billet machined on the ends with a carbon fiber shaft in the middle. It's $1,200.
That's funny. You're asking for a sway bar to hand you a paper clip. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I think what needs to happen is Matt needs to build a Fox Body Mustang. Aaron needs to build a mini, and I'll build a muscle car, and then we have to have the shift and steer challenge.
If somebody can find me the body, like a cool body, I'll build a Fox Body RC car. I've been kind of craving one recently. Anyway,
I've been eyeballing. It's funny you say that, Matt, because I've been eyeballing that there's a Land Rover Defender kit. And I think they're about $400, and I just don't want to spend $400.
There's not a Farfignugan?
Is there a Pinzauer RC?
A Farfignugan. No, no, there's no pin scour, so I had to go to the leather.
You know he looked, though. You know he Googled pin scour RC truck.
It's like me. I looked for a V8 Vega one, but I haven't been able to find one, man. You
really?
Know? I just can't understand why nobody has a V8 Vega RC car. What the hell's up with that? So
You got to 3D print it.
I think we're going to have to.
You know?
So whoever has a 3D printer out there, I need a Motion Vega. He needs a Fox Body Mustang.
A Cobra, though. If you're going to make it, it's got to be the Cobra body.
And he needs a Pinsgauer. And then we're going to build these suckers, and we'll have the shift and steer challenge.
I would do it. Somebody must make the bodies. The bodies can't be that cheap or that expensive, right?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, they make so many bodies. I mean, did you look it up online and see if there was one?
I mean, just sitting here, I just Googled Fox Body Mustang RC body, and
I didn't care. I meant V8 Vega. You know, I mean,
I did not look for
or
that.
Or Pinsgauer. Come on,
I'm going to go with no on that one.
Always thinking about yourself. Hey, we got to get this show wrapped up. But what do you guys think? If you could have any car for Christmas, what would it be, Aaron?
Any car?
Yeah, like just money's no object. You can have any car you want.
I can't answer that in this short of a time.
You've got to. That's part of the thing. That it wasn't planned. You didn't have time to think it through. What is
Aaron's like, pass. We're like, this is not that kind of game.
Come on.
It could be wrong. Just throw it out there. New, used, whatever. Investment, car, driving car.
Race car.
Anything. There's so many good stuff. Uh-oh.
He just hung up on us. He's like, I'm not playing this game. So, what would it be for you, Matt?
I don't know. I just think maybe, hello?
You can't hang up and quit the
that's
game. Come on. What's up with that?
That's a cheat way out. this one's a little too cliche, but being on the spot, for collectability and just raw sexiness, Ferrari 250 California short wheelbase.
Spider. That's what I was going to say. I literally was going to say that.
Really?
Yes. I would go with a California SWB. I mean, just awesome cars.
All right. Well, then I'm going with long wheelbase.
And it's the car that I told you guys the story of that. In the 80s, I was at Bear Jackson, and my wife, I said, yeah, is there something you want? And she pointed at a yellow one, a fly yellow one, and I was like, honey, there's no way in the world we can afford a $350,000 classic Ferrari.
Yeah, right? You should have bought that car.
If we would have only bought that car.
Wow. So, we wouldn't be sitting here doing a podcast. You'd be in Air Force One doing your podcast
exactly.
that you bought on the open market doing the podcast. We'd be calling in to your jet.
Come on, Aaron. What is it? A Mini?
No, actually.
A Renault.
I think it would be a tie between an old Bugatti, like the open wheel Bugattis, or the old Alphas. Matt, what were those? A TZ or something? What were those early Alphas with the open wheels? A TC something, right? A TC.
Yeah, I don't recall.
120 or something it was. Anyway, but you know the ones I'm talking about? They had the crank in the front, and they were inline, and they were open wheel, and they were that dark red. Remember those ones? They had the big pipe down the side.
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I know what cars you mean. They're awesome.
Another car that I've always loved, and because people have asked this on
don't say Delahaye because that's what I would say.
No, it's not. But just because of the timing and the movie that came out, and I was a kid and it was so influential, I still have a soft spot in my heart for a Tucker.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
a Tucker.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, call up Rob.
He can build you one.
Oh, did you see his dyno thing with the Tucker? He just released some video and it got picked up. Tucker made like 94 horsepower or something.
Yeah.
And
Rob, he has the one that he had at SEMA, the Hot Rod Tucker.
Yeah, Rob Ida we're talking about.
Yes, and then he has the one that he helped restore for the grandson, the great-grandson of Tucker. And then he has the Tucker Torpedo, the concept car that never was. The plans existed.
Yeah.
They got them. They're building it with the helicopter motor and everything. And it just so happens that this year at Monterey, Tucker is the featured mark at Pebble Beach. And so
he also built a very sort of iconic Tucker recreation. I want to say it was like green and it was done for like Kicker Audio or something.
Yep.
And but just really well done.
All his stuff is just awesome. And but he's been invited to the grass at Pebble. And so he's going to have like three Tuckers there, you know?
Yeah, as
he's gonna
he should.
He's going to be pretty tuckered by the time he gets there.
See what you did. All right, see now we're done.
Okay. Hey.
Okay, guys, real quick. Okay, I can tell you right now, 1935 Alfa Romeo Tipo C8C35. That's the one.
Okay.
That's the one. Okay. We'll start putting our money together to get that for you. Hey, everybody, I want to remind you that that there's still time to get in on our giveaway promotion for Mycanic. You can, go to our Instagram page is where we want you to go, and look for the ad there. It will show you the Mycanic kickstand that we're giving away, three of them actually, and it's super easy. All you got to do is click on the link in our profile or paste it into your browser. Go there, put in your name, your email, and somebody's going to win it. And we're going to give it away just after Christmas, three of them, and they'll be shipped directly to you. These things are sweet. They're $100 each. Normally, they're made out of metal. They're nice. I know I love mine. Aaron loves his.
Me too.
And I know Matt's going to love his if he ever gives one. And
Can I participate in the sweepstakes?
You can. You can. You're not eligible, but you can participate.
Damn it.
And do you know what, Matt, do you know how to get 10 extra entries if you're trying to enter?
This is a trick question. Wait, I know this one.
Come on.
Oh, man.
Dun, 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 dun.
I give up.
Dun, dun, dun. It's basically all you got to do is post on your social media, Instagram page or Facebook, that Mycanic with a hashtag in front of it or hashtag Shift and Steer Podcast with a photo of your garage or a photo of your car. Now, a few people have already done it. Those guys are the smart ones because they're getting 10 extra entries. Those guys wanted to win. Don't you want to win? But we have gotten a lot of people participate. Thanks. Go to our Instagram page. Check it out. And, Matt, where can they find us online? Where can they find us on Instagram?
Oh, Shift Steer Media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Shift Steer Media. And, of course, you can... you're listening to the show, but it'd be great if you can just make a little post on your Facebook page and say, here's a badass podcast with three clowns who talk about cars. And
Didn't even talk about cars. We talked about toys and...
What, toy cars?
Yeah, toy cars.
It's like a gift episode. RCs are the way to go, right?
Yeah.
And
I'm going to open my garage and everybody's going to come over and just buy stuff for the holidays.
I'm not... what was it? Buybradshit.com?
I'm threatening to do it. I'm going to do it. One of these days.
It's buybradstuff.
Buybradstuff.com. Yeah. I should do it. If you guys think I should do it, then, chime in. Tell us on Twitter or on Instagram, should I do a buybradstuff.com and put one item up every day on eBay and or on a website or something? Do something like that because I got a lot of cool stuff.
If somebody can find me a really cool... like the clear Lexan Fox body Mustang, be great if it was a Cobra body. If somebody knows how to make one of those or can find one of those that I can get, I will build an RC car for SEMA next year.
Boy, Matt's dedicated.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
He's dedicated.
And if they can find me a Vega and something appropriate for Aaron, then we'll have a Shift and Steer drive off.
We're going to have a booth.
There you go.
I'll bring in like a ringer.
Wait, are we doing electric or gas?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't decided yet. We got the
jury's. Hey, there's
out on
the
that.
Chime that tells it's at the end of the show.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Brad Fanshaw. Aaron?
Aaron Hagar?
Up in Tahoe.
And Matt DeAndrea.
And Matt DeAndrea. This is Shift and Steer. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.